Chapter 3. The Chase. On the morning that Tess left to start her new job at Trantridge, Joan Durbeyfield wanted her daughter to look her best. She washed her hair and told her to put on her white dress. "He has to fall in love with her," Joan whispered to her husband. But as Tess left the house with her basket in her arms, her mother began to feel worried. She and the children watched Tess walk up the lane to where the carriage would meet her. But before she had quite reached the place, a fast little cart suddenly appeared, driven by a young man with a cigarette between his teeth. He wore a cap, a white scarf, and brown driving gloves. The man got down from the cart and spoke to Tess. She seemed to be disagreeing with him. Then she climbed onto the cart. The young man climbed up beside her and hit the horse hard. It began to gallop. Man, woman, and cart disappeared over the hill. The ride back to Trantridge was fast and terrifying. Tess had to put her arms round the laughing Alec to stop herself from falling. At the same time, she thought of the accident with the horse Prince. When the cart finally slowed, she jumped down and told Alec angrily that she would walk the rest of the way. The chickens, which Tess was paid to look after, were kept in an ancient cottage with its own garden. Tess's job was to care for the birds and to take different ones to visit Alec's mother each afternoon. Mrs. D'Urberville was a white-haired blind woman of not more than 60 who always sat waiting for Tess in an armchair. "So, you are the young woman who has come to look after my birds," she said on the first day, reaching out her hands to touch them. "Now, please put them on my knee. Ah, yes, this is Strut, and Fina too." Tess did not realise that Alec had not told the old lady she was family. But she noticed the strange faces that the old lady made when Alec's name was mentioned, and Tess wondered if maybe she did not love her son. Tess slowly began to like her new situation. She enjoyed the mornings when the sun shone, and she tried hard to be good at her job. Alec came to talk to her every day, but did not try to kiss or touch her again, though he often watched her for many hours. One day, he told her that he had bought her father a new horse. Of course, she thanked him, but although she had started to know and understand him better, she still did not like him. Tess knew that at the weekends, some of the people from the farm and the village liked to go to dances in Chaseborough, the closest town. For a long time, Tess did not join them. But then some of the girls encouraged her to go, and finally she agreed. To her surprise, she enjoyed herself. She went again and again, sometimes going there alone, but always returning to Trantridge with her friends for protection. This had gone on for a month or two, until there came a Saturday when there was to be another dance. Tess had to work late, so she left Trantridge after the others and travelled to Chaseborough alone through the golden September evening. When she was nearly there, she heard a noise behind her and, looking back, thought she saw Alec D'Urberville riding his horse on the lane. But when she looked again, he had gone. She found the group in a huge barn, holding hands and dancing wildly in large circles. Tess did not dare to join them in the dance, but stood and watched. The time got later and later, and she started to feel very tired. Finally, long after midnight, the villagers started to walk home. Tess noticed how some of the men and women were quite drunk. They continued to walk for another mile and had just entered a field when there was laughing at the back of the group.
"What's happened to your dress?"
one of the girls said to another. She was staring at a long tear that ran through the back of the second girl's dress. The girl turned and touched her dress, then cried out angrily. The rest of the girls, including Tess, all started to laugh, quietly at first, and then more loudly. The girl lifted her head and stared at them, her eyes meeting those of Tess.
"And what are you laughing at?" she shouted. "You think you're the best, don't you? Because you're favourite with Mr. D'Urberville just now. But I'm as good as two of you."
She started moving towards Tess.
"Stop it now," replied Tess. "I shall not fight you. And if I had known you were all going to behave so badly, I would not have come with you."
When they heard this, all the younger girls turned towards Tess with angry faces. She was moving away from them towards the hedge when suddenly a horse and rider came out of the night. Then Alec D'Urberville's voice shouted,
"Jump up here with me. Let's get away from these screaming cats."
He leaned down to take her arm, and she let him pull her up in front of him. The group went silent as they watched the two of them gallop away. Then an older woman laughed long and loudly before saying,
"Out of the frying pan and into the fire."
The two riders galloped along for some time without speaking. Alec had his arms round Tess, and she held on to him. Finally, they reached the Chase Forest, where they slowed to a walk.
"I suppose I ought to thank you," she said.
"And do you?"
he replied, moving his face close to hers in the darkness. But she turned hers away.
"Tess, why don't you ever let me kiss you? I have been good to you and your family."
"I suppose because I don't love you."
But he did not seem to mind this answer, and they rode on silently under the dark trees of the Chase. By now, Tess was extremely tired and had begun to cry quietly. She had got up at 5 every morning that week and had already walked the 3 miles to Chaseborough, then waited for her friends for 3 hours without eating or drinking. Slowly, she leaned back against him and her head began to drop against his chest. He stopped the horse. She was sleeping deeply, with tears around her eyes. Gently, Alec lifted Tess down and put her on the soft earth, then sat beside her. Where was Tess's guardian angel now? Perhaps he was sleeping, and not to be woken up. Darkness closed around them as Alec stared down at her. Then his face bent lower and lower towards hers.